This summer, KABU has been examining the way the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, works in Oregon. We've been exploring the impact ALEC corporations and Oregon ALEC members are having on the lives of Oregonians. As part of that work, KABU sent two reporters, Yana Maximova and Mike Klepfer, to ALEC's spring conference in Kansas City this past April. That task force meeting is one of three meetings ALEC has each year, along with a summer and winter meeting. And although you can find a lot of audio and video from the summer conference, there's virtually nothing online from the spring task force meeting. That's because the spring task force meeting is where ALEC says legislative members bring proposed legislation to be discussed and debated in task forces. We don't know that for sure, however, because ALEC's policy is to not reveal members or from where model legislation comes from. So it's also entirely possible that model bills originate from ALEC's corporate members, which is what much of the reporting on ALEC suggests. Members of ALEC's Private Enterprise Advisory Council, representing corporate interests, and ALEC's Board of Directors, representing legislators, sit on those task forces together. If task force members vote to approve draft legislation, it goes on to a group of legislators that, according to the ALEC website, is called the ALEC National Board of Legislators for a second and final vote. At least that's what Molly Fuchs, ALEC's press liaison, told KABU back in April. But we couldn't find anything called the National Board of Legislators either on the ALEC site or through a Google search. Besides, if corporate task force members don't like a piece of proposed legislation, it never gets to the legislators for that second vote. That vote is supposed to be the check. Chris Taylor, a Wisconsin Democrat who is an ALEC member and spoke extensively to Mike and Yana when they were in Kansas City, she calls those legislators ALEC's foot soldiers, since according to her, this National Board of Legislators simply rubber stamps what the task forces give them. The day before Ms. Taylor arrived at the conference, Wisconsin right-wing blogger M.D. Kittle was already lambasting her on his blog, Wisconsin Reporter. This is significant because ALEC's stated policy is that the organization doesn't discuss its membership or the origins of its model bills. So how did Kittle know Taylor would be there?
Given that ALEC says they don't disclose who their members are, they don't disclose who their corporate members are, how much it costs to be a corporate member, I was actually quite surprised yesterday that a right-wing blogger in Wisconsin was told by someone in ALEC that I was coming to this meeting. So that is, I think, fairly contrary that ALEC would disclose that when they don't even disclose who their members are, and yet to a right-wing blogger who contacted some unidentified person in ALEC, they told him that they expected me to come to this meeting.
Anyway, to get back to the point, the summer conference seems to be a PR event when ALEC releases a lot of podium speeches as a way to try to show how open it is, while the spring conference is treated like a top secret event.
The last conference I went to was an annual conference, so there's many more people there. If you weren't on a task force, you could still go and listen and still be included. This was a little more exclusionary. This is kind of the inner workings of ALEC. This is the quieter ALEC where the work actually gets done rather than the big annual meetings. I think the thing that started to get even more apparent to me is just so many contradictions within ALEC that their philosophies are just not consistent.
Mike and Yana didn't know that when they left, but they found out when they got there.
When we first arrived, went to get our press credentials. We arrived at Marriott. We were told by Marriott staff that ALEC representative would call them, would call us back and get in touch with us, let us know. They were not aware of any other media present there, or seemingly surprised, but nevertheless told us that somebody from ALEC will get back to us.
Mike Klepfer and Yana Maximova discussed their first day at the ALEC conference by telephone. We apologize for the poor connection.
At that point, we left, and we got a phone call shortly after from an ALEC public relations representative who was that due to the nature of the conference, we wouldn't be allowed into or any conference. Explained that this was because policy concerning official business and from plenary functions, such as keynote addresses, which they would allow press to attend, but any official was off limits.
Earlier, Chris Taylor mentioned the inconsistency of ALEC's policies. The same seemed to be true for their media policy. KABU requested media credentials from Alec in advance of the trip. Ms. Fuchs contacted Jenka Soderberg, KABU's news director, before Mike and Yana left and told her the same thing she told Mike and Yana in the Marriott lobby. But because we were in the middle of the Fund for Investigative Journalism grant period, we decided to go anyway to see what we could get. The thing is, a review of Alec's media policy doesn't distinguish which meetings reporters can or can't go to. In fact, the Alec website says that Alec provides social, traditional, and online journalists with the data, tools, and analysis needed to accurately cover stories involving state legislatures. But our reporters were being barred access from those data, tools, and analysis. Meanwhile, I was back in Portland working the phones. I contacted a host of organizations, including the Missouri Association of Broadcasters, the Missouri Secretary of State, and a whole bunch of other organizations trying to see if we could help Mike and Yana. We already knew Alec had a history of denying reporters access to its events, and in some cases, the hosting hotel actually ejecting the media from its property and forcing them to report from the sidewalk. This happened to Washington Post reporter Dana Milbank, who was at Alec's December 2013 winter meeting, the State and Nation Policy Summit. The next morning, Mike and Yana went back to the Marriott in downtown Kansas City and headed for the lobby. They figured that since they weren't able to attend any of the meetings, they would try to buttonhole Oregon legislators they recognized who were passing through on the way to the closed Alec meetings on the second floor.
So when we got to the Marriott, Yana and I split up, and I decided to check out the hotel. There were politicians and private sector Alec members and police all over the hotel, and the majority of the conference was going on the hotel second floor, where there was a big lobby. So I went and looked around, and in front of every room door, there was an Alec staff member, list of names, so that unauthorized people couldn't go into Alec meetings. After about one round, I was approached by a Kansas City police officer who summoned Alec's plainclothes security. That person, or public relations staff member, they told me I was not allowed to attend the conference. So this staff member escorted me to the lobby. He told me not to go back upstairs, or he would have me thrown out of the hotel.
300 people had gathered in a square across the street from the Marriott, and that's where Yana was, talking to protesters like these.
The reason we're down here is to protest against the extreme legislative ideas, their ideology, and how they influence the legislature in Kansas and Missouri. I'm from Kansas, and they've ruined our state. There's plenty of evidence for that. There's some new things coming down the pike here pretty soon that they're trying to ram down our throat, and we don't like it.
I'm a teacher, and I am opposed to Alec because of their use of public funds to promote private enterprises, particularly private school. They are against collective bargaining. They are using public money, memberships, and buying legislation, actually selling legislation, I should say, to different states, package deals, I'm sure, that legislators enjoy, who then promote it as their own. That is not helping the common person, not helping the public sector at all.
That was Al Frisbee of Johnson County Move On and Susan Henry of the Missouri National Education Association. Yana also talked with Brendan Fisher, who is the general counsel for the Center for Media and Democracy. CMD created the Alec Exposed website from the trove of documents leaked on Alec in 2011 and 2013.
ALEC basically exists to facilitate corporate influence. They exist to allow corporations to access and influence state legislators. So in addition to the creation of model bills and the fact that legislators and corporations are sitting down together to adopt model legislation, at these ALEC meetings, legislators are getting wined and dined by corporate interests. They're attending fancy parties sponsored by Altria, Philip Morris, by BP, by Americans for Prosperity. And in many cases, the legislators are coming to these meetings with their flights and hotel rooms paid for by corporate interests, by the same corporate interests that benefit from the introduction and passage of ALEC model legislation.
Back in Portland, I was monitoring Mike and Yana's progress through a collaborative sharing site called Basecamp. I contacted John Huffman, who told me in an interview earlier this year that he was always willing to make himself available to the media. I didn't know if he was at the conference, but I thought he might be a liaison for lawmakers that were. But as it turns out, Mr. Huffman was at the conference, and he graciously talked with Mike and Yana for more than an hour.
A lot of people, I think, try to paint ALEC, or at least the emails I get from folks in Oregon, try to paint ALEC as a organization that's run by the Koch brothers or Wall Street or big business, big industry. And I've never seen that. As a member for almost 7 years, I've never run into that at all. In fact, in my task and fiscal policy task force meetings today so far, 99.9% of the people in the room are other legislators from all around the U.S., various states represented, and the discussions have been based on what's working in their states or what's not working, what tax policy they might be trying to introduce for the next legislative session. It's things like that. It's like, who has an income tax, who has a sales tax, what's working for you. Representative from Kansas was just talking about some of the tax cuts and concessions that they recently made and what they're anticipating as far as business growth, because I'm a firm believer that unemployment, business growth are directly related to your tax and fiscal policy, and so that's why I'm involved in it. The reality is, in Oregon, the only ALEC model bill that I know of that was ever introduced and passed was a bipartisan effort, and it was co-sponsored by Representative Gene Wisnett, Representative Kim Thatcher, Representative Arnie Roblin, and Representative Jefferson Smith. So two Republicans, two Democrats, and it passed overwhelmingly. I think it was probably unanimous, actually, on the House floor, and it was the Transparency website. And so you look at something like a transparency website where you're trying to make sure that Oregon residents have a better idea and one source to go to about their government and how we're spending money and who's on first, you know. And so it's hard to look at that as some big, you know, a big bill coming out of some nasty organization.
Representative Huffman also convinced ALEC State Chair Gene Wisnett to talk with Mike and Yana. Representative Sal Esquivel was also at the conference, but he didn't meet with KABU.
I don't understand, again, as a journalism major, I don't do anything that I wouldn't want my mother to see or my son to see.
And that's weird, though, that we applied for press credentials. Yeah, and they're really consistent about this. They said that since there was no meeting at which by policy journalists could attend, that they wouldn't issue them.
I don't agree with that, but that's okay.
So would you say that maybe people's ideas of what happens here would be assuaged if
I don't know. We've invited journalists and they still report it wrong. When I think two annual meetings ago, we had someone from the British paper, and I didn't like his report.
The Guardian or something?
Did you see that one? Read that article.
I've
got it if you don't have it or whatever.
No, I can look it up.
I didn't think he did a good job.
What did he get wrong?
Well, like, talking about the secrecy. I mean, that stuff. There's nothing secret about what we're doing. Uh-huh. It's all going to come out in the public if you introduce a bill or whatever.
Right.
And all we're doing here is, what do they say? Hundreds of bills, and I tell you, I've introduced one bill.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe the 2020 was related, but I didn't introduce that. SCIU and asked me to introduce it, and I tried to get it approved as a model legislation. It wouldn't get it, they wouldn't approve it for me.
Everything seemed very routine. It was business as usual, and because of the secretive nature of the conference, there's no way of knowing what an actual talk looks like. They have hilarious titles. One, for instance, is called something to the effect of the Jacksonian regulation of electronic cigarettes. Bald examples by corporations to ask for deregulation in a collegial setting with pro free market representatives. The representatives that we talked to from Oregon were pretty forthcoming about their feelings about ALEC, and they pointed out that lobbying rules say that any contribution they receive has to be carefully documented and recorded, but the way that ALEC works is that these legislators have unaccounted for and open contact with members of high-powered corporations.
The last thing Mike and Yana did before they left Kansas City was meet with Representative Taylor for dinner. Her view of ALEC was quite different from those of Representatives Huffman and Wisnett. For one, Ms. Taylor disagreed with Mr. Huffman that there were very few corporate members at the event.
From what I could see, there was equal representation on the task force between the private members, who are either big corporation representatives or right-wing think tanks, and the public members. So it was extremely balanced in that way. I didn't see an overwhelming... In fact, I actually thought I saw more private members than public members than more legislators. I mean, I did not have one colleague from Wisconsin here.
For 45 years, KBOO has been serving its community by bringing news ignored or underreported by the mainstream press. We look forward to future reporting that gives you the tools you need to be fully informed. This and all of the stories in this series were produced by Yana Maksimova, Mike Klepfer, Sam Bowman, and Sam Smith. You can hear these stories at kboo.org. Special thanks to KKFI Community Radio in Kansas City and Claudine Thomas. The KBOO News Director is Jenka Soderberg. I'm Don Merrill.